What was that?
What?
What's that sound?
Where?
It's aliens and they're living in your town.
Damn.
They have arrived.
What?
They're all around.
Where?
So many aliens living in your town.
Hello, weirdos out there in weirdo land. How the heck is everybody doing?
Doing good.
Yeah, doing real good.
I mean, let's jump right into it. We have got a lot of weird emails tonight. I want to open up the show with this. Beckett, tell me if you know what this sound is. Denny's, I think you know what the clip I want to play.
Oh, this one right here?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
I'll give you $500 if you can tell me what that is.
You after some pizza and Mountain Dew?
What?
You after some pizza and some Mountain Dew?
Me after pizza and Mountain Dew. That is a tortoise mating.
Oh, my God.
What was the story behind that, Denny's? Was it like the oldest tortoise around or some shit stuff?
Yeah, so the tale is said that there was a they had to repopulate the tortoise population. He's the last male left, right? So he impregnated a bunch of tortoises.
Like I think I read an article 300 times, and then they just released him back into the wild.
Yeah, exactly.
Great gig.
He came and he went.
Now, Vicky, let me ask you: you being an educator, would you be able to allow? Would you be able to play a clip like that in school if you're teaching about mating, or is that too?
I probably wouldn't. It just leads to too much
tomfoolery.
Yeah. No.
Too much hoopla.
Could you date a person like that made that sound? They're perfect in every way, Vicky. Unbelievable dancer.
Okay, yeah.
That's their only flaw.
Earplugs, yeah.
During sex?
When you tickle them.
It's mm-hmm. You hear it. You could be in a movie and all of a sudden you hear. I mean, doesn't that tortoise sound so happy, though?
So happy.
We all should be able to make that sound one time in our lives.
Truth be told, I don't think I've ever heard a turtle make a sound.
That's a tortoise. Now I know there's a debate between a turtle and a tortoise. People get all pissy about that. I think I said turtle on the air today. It's a tortoise. Like, is there a difference?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I guess there is.
Their habitat.
A lot of animal emails we get about when animals die. What happens when they die? I know, Vicky, you've touched upon this before. Now, you being a psychic medium, do you see a lot of animals cross over?
No.
Why is that?
That just may not be my specialty. I do run into a lot of animal spirits, like on investigations and stuff. So I will run into them earthbound or here, but I haven't been shown any on the other side.
Okay, so for people who are new to the podcast, if something's earthbound, it means?
It means it's here. It means they never crossed over to the other side.
But it's an entity. It's not a living thing. It's
right. It's basically a soul, a spirit. They just don't have a body.
We're doing a little one-on-one, trying to brush up on our psychic skills, Beckett. I have a feeling if Vicky gave you a psychic quiz, you might fail that shit.
I would probably likely fail it.
I don't know. I think you'd get like a 60%.
And that's okay. What we're all shooting for, just to skate by in
yeah,
life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What were your grades like in school, Beckett?
They were really good until sophomore year of high school.
Because that's when the chicks came
100%.
Around. 100%. Yeah. Vicky, it's always about the chicks.
Not for me, but that's fine.
I was actually I was the really quiet, nerdy jock that always, I didn't really talk that much. I was pretty shy. I got really good conduct scores and really good grades. And
bitch boy Beckett.
I know. Then sophomore year, yeah, I all downhill.
Just tore it up.
So for a lot of people, we always get emails about people who've lost a pet and they are devastated. Rightfully so. I will be a mess when Chewy passes on. But they want some comfort, Vicky. Do animals cross over?
I haven't been shown it. That doesn't mean it doesn't happen, but the comfort should come in the fact that if you had your pet for so long and you loved them so much, you're probably going to still be able to interact with them. They're still going to be around.
Because I feel like it's a living entity. If we're talking, why do humans get to cross over and animals don't? You know what I mean? Again, us humans, we're so much more important than everything else. For example, this is another question we get a lot. If dogs have a spirit, do worms, do ants, do roaches? I mean, roaches, I know we've covered it before, but it's a question we keep getting. Most people think roaches are hideous. Everyone's thinking, oh, they don't cross over. They die, and that's it.
I've never seen a roach on the other side. I mean, I can only tell you what I've been shown. And like I said, I've never specifically seen an animal doing anything on the other side. Anytime I come across an animal and their spirit, they're here. They're still.
Do they try to? They try to interact with you?
Oh yeah, like I know, like when I walk into a place and there's a cat, it immediately starts rubbing up against my legs.
How do you cross? How does that cat finally cross over? Does it need its own psychic cat medium, like its own cat, Vicky?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I don't have the answer to that because I've never been shown that. So,
Becky, you're awfully quiet.
Must be a scaredy cat.
Oh. How's that speaker?
I was on it though. I saw that.
No, I think that I agree. I mean, it's you know, me being the veg. I think it's funny, or not funny. It's interesting how some people like, oh, it's horrible that the Chinese eat dog, but people think dogs are cute, you know. And then something that's equally smart and sometimes smarter, like a pig, they're like, oh, bacon, it's great, you know. So yeah. It's interesting to me how people like try to delineate their morals and their ethics based on how cute something is, you know?
Well, the question of the day for the audience, if you could put it in our YouTube comment section, what do you think happens to animals when they pass? What do you think with insects especially? I'd love to hear, do you think worms cross over to some worm heaven? Or are they chilling out with Elvis and Sammy Davis Jr.? Or, you know, with all of our loved dead relatives? What do you think? Let us know. Do animals, do insects, do fish, do they cross over?
My belief is that anything that's a sentient being that is self-aware and has feelings crosses.
Would you say plant life?
Plant life wouldn't be sentient. So anything up to that, up to plant life.
Wouldn't that be something when we die, we find out that the plants had feelings and they were, when we stepped on them, like, shit, right. This is terrible. Exactly. Like, we are the, wouldn't that be crazy?
I apologize to my plants. Like, if I do something, I forget to water them or whatever. I mean, I apologize to them.
Just in case there's a fern god out there.
And they're living. So it's something you have to care for.
Right.
Well, just because we can't communicate with plants and trees, we think, oh, they don't have feelings. Wouldn't that be a M. Night Shyamalan twist back here?
Totally.
What about bacteria? I mean, that's another living thing.
An amoeba.
Yeah, totally.
That's why I use the sentient being, because I think you can really go down a rabbit
hole. For sure.
And I think that we... you know, you can only live this life the best way that you know how. And
but what if they can't measure its sentience because it's so small? And in its world, that's its world, kind of like how we are in our world.
Right. In the grass and the plant world, they know all of their own tree drama.
Yeah, they have their own stuff. And then you zoom the microscope out, and then you're in our plane where they're like, we're looking down at it, and then you zoom the mic out.
You zoom even further, and they've got some aliens looking at us.
Totally.
Marbles.
Like, I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's my understanding that Buddhist, that religion, believes that you come in and out of lives depending on the life that you led. And if you led a good life, then you move up the mandala in terms of eventually you reach nirvana. And then if you live a really poor life and bad life, then you get demoted into a dog, then an insect, and you move your way up and down the hierarchy.
Vicky, what are your thoughts on reincarnation? Would you like that concept? Is that something that makes you feel at ease, or does it kind of bum you out?
I would like the concept because I think about like people who grew up in different time periods and your life expectancy was like 20 or 30. And to me, that doesn't seem fair that they were born then and they didn't have the same opportunities that we did. So if reincarnation exists, what a great way for us to experience all different time periods, and it kind of even things out so that we get shots at different times.
So, I mean, I would like reincarnation if, for example, in another lifetime, I do remember us. I have memories of us. I don't like the idea of you going to another life and you basically forget everything, and then every now and then you'll have a, oh, yes, that's right. Back when 1920, I was a Amelia Earhart, you know, whatever, because everyone, of course, was always someone famous in their former life.
Of course.
But I've never felt easy with reincarnation for that reason, because I want to remember the good times.
Well, some people do. I mean, they have, like a lot of children, have these memories and things that there's no way that they could have known that. And they're not saying that it's psychic ability on the child's part. They're saying that they were actually that person that they're talking about.
There is some crazy stories where a five-year-old knows some shit that this five-year-old should not have known, even in a time before Google. I mean, Denny's, kids.
Yeah, they're crazy, right? They're our future.
That's true.
Yes.
We do have a very weird, on the whole animal tip, let's get your guys' opinion. It says, dear, weird, and whatever, Now, let me just warn everybody. This is a very weird email.
Okay.
All right.
Dear Weird and Whatever, we just found out that my 18-year-old brother has been doing sexual stuff with one of our horses. My mother and I caught him doing stuff the other night. Needless to say, things have been weird at home. He's really embarrassed. He's really humiliated. My mom is super pissed at him. She keeps calling him a pervert to his face. She wants to kick him out of the house. I live there too. I'm 20. I'm really tight with him, but this is weird and it's really sick. My question is this. Can my brother be saved, or is he forever a sicko pervert? He admitted that he's done this stuff before to other animals, so there's clearly something mentally wrong with him. We come from a good home, so we are all confused on why this is happening. Would love to hear all of your opinion on how to handle this. My family is torn apart right now, and I want to heal them, Amy.
I mean, therapy would be the first thing off the top of my head. Maybe try to find out. It could be something super basic, and there really isn't some deep psychological issue going on. But I really think everybody involved, not just him, but everybody involved probably needs to go to therapy.
I agree with that. If the mom is pissed and calling him a pervert,
oh, should not.
And trying to throw him out, she may not be in that mindset to do that.
Right. And that's going to cause more damage than help.
But I think we all can admit, doing sexual stuff with a horse is out there, and it's a red flag. And
right.
Now, when someone's got a tick like that, I mean, I would call it there's some wiring that's slightly off there, right? Are you born with that? Especially if you're in a house where maybe something, like, you're confused on how this could happen. Are some people just born slightly just wired the wrong way on stuff like that?
Yeah, but I think that I'm being in the horse world, I'm aware of a certain similar kind of story, and it turned out that the guy was gay and is gay. And he was repressing, and to him, it was almost less embarrassing to do something like that and repress his homosexuality and do that in secret than come out.
How do you know? Because he told you that?
Well, I knew of the story in Wellington in the horse world, and he eventually came out, and it turns out.
But that was his story. Yes. That's what he said.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't people just kind of guessing on that.
That's correct. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So yes, it could be. Something's off, whatever, and therapy is, of course, always the best answer. But there could be a lot more there than him just being into horses or animals, for example. Like, there could be a whole other thing going on that needs to be uncovered by a professional, obviously.
We've talked about other mental issues, especially someone who has been violent in the past. We've talked about serial killers before. Can, with the right therapy, can a serial killer... Can they be changed with all of the greatest therapy, with all of medication, and then you let them out into the world? Are they somebody that can you become reformed, or is that something that's going to always be? Are you always going to have the urge to kill? Dennis, what are your thoughts?
So I guess it depends on why they're serial killing. If it's like a compulsion to where they just get enraged when they see something that triggers them and they go into a frenzy and kill, then that would probably take therapy and stuff to get rid of. But if there's a person who actually gets a thrill out of killing people, then probably no, they would not change.
It's going to be tough for them ever to curb that.
It just depends what it is, if what they're doing it for.
Let's see what the chat room is saying. You guys have any advice for that last email? Oh, boy, let me turn that down.
Well, I think Beckett was onto it.
Yeah, go ahead there, Beckett.
Well, with his point about that email, because there's this movie. I don't know if you guys saw it. It was very weird. It was called, I think it was called The Squid versus the Whale.
I haven't seen that one.
Well, so what's weird about it is an indie film, and in it, the kid, he's probably like 15 or 16, and he gets obsessed with masturbating publicly while hidden, and that becomes his sexual perversion.
Mm.
So I don't know if it's necessarily like they're a head case or not, but he did that because he was too shy to talk to women, but he still wanted to be in the presence of. Kind of down that route.
Right, totally.
So there's all sorts of psychological things that can develop basically just from... not being able to express yourself the way you want to.
Yeah, some people in the chat room are saying exactly that. Some people are saying, yeah, it's perverted, but you shouldn't exile them for that. You know, like you're saying, Vicky.
When you're young, finding your body, too. I mean, You just try to develop proper habits, I'd imagine.
Melissa G wants to ask a question, and it's a very popular one. All Get right. ready, Vicky. What's going on with Jaybird's ghost? So let me read you the 9,000 emails that I got. No, like Melissa Flora said, any updates regarding the demon's ghost in your home? Anything going on? Is it still showing its presence at your place? Don't want to believe this was just a Halloween thing to get into the holiday. The video looked legit. I want to see and know more. Thanks. Then I also have this one from Carla, which both of these pretty much kind of summarize everyone's thoughts. Dear Weird and whatever. How does Jason's spirit problem go from it's these crazy and scary demons to now what Vicky describes as a manifestation Jason has created? It sounds like. Sounds like you guys still don't know what it is. For a month, Vicky was annoyed with Jason because he wasn't taking the demon thing seriously. Now you guys barely talk about it. What's up, Carla from Orlando? And just to give everybody a quick update on some of the stuff that's been going on, and I don't even think I've told you, Vicky, what's been going on. The whispering in the closet has seemed to pick up again. There is an absolute whispering. I should put a video or a recording in there. I did wake up to, this was kind of a weird thing, and tell me what you think about this. This is one of those moments where I kind of thought I was crazy. Mm-hmm. I was sleeping in my bed, and I was kind of in a peaceful sleep, and it was very, very audible. I heard, Jason, Jason, and I got up, and as soon as I got up, sure as shit, my face was like this, and I'm looking down on my comforter, and the way the light was hitting my comforter, there was a legit face in my comforter.
It
was
terrified,
it was almost like somebody molded a face out of my comforter. Now, I know, you know, little crevices and little shadows can look like something, but it was weird, and I tried to take a picture of it, and it just did not come out. I mean, I can show it to you, but it was an odd combination of Jason, Jason, and then I woke up, and then there's a friggin' face in my comforter. It was odd, Vicky. That what's been going on. And the other thing that's been going on, there was one time where my sink turned on. Sink turned on, sink turned back off. So water was coming out, water stopped.
Okay. Well, I want to go back and address the one email. From the very beginning, I said that this thing was not human. I never specifically straight up said, you have a demon. We started joking around and you kind of, you know, kind of called something one time on the air or whatever. From the very beginning.
I think I called it a biatch.
Yeah, the first thing that I diagnosed it as was a tulpa, which is a physical manifestation of a thought process. And then coming full circle, after I consulted with two different people, the second person also they called it a Bogart, which is a thought process. Now, regardless of whether you call it a tulpa, a Bogart, or a demon, all three of those things have the exact same goal, which is to wreak havoc and to disrupt your life. So they all had the exact same goal. No matter what we call it, it all has the same goal.
It's basically they're all kind of like an STD, but they all have their own way right. of attacking the organ.
No, actually, they all have similar modus operandi for what they're doing to you, and they have the same goal.
Many STDs kind of have the same goal.
Rash.
Just to seek and destroy.
If that's a manifestation, I can't pronounce it, is that him being somewhat masochist in the sense that he's kind of having this, is that what a tulpa would be?
Well, not exactly, because once a tulpa has been created, it usually just kind of stays with its host. Mm. But if it continues to get more power, then it actually breaks off from the host. Mm. So I'd say what we have right now, whatever it is, whether you want to call it a Bogart, which is also a thought process, if you want to call it a tulpa, I think it has detached itself from its host. So it has more power now. Now, once it's detached, it's going to be super hard to round it back up and to get rid of it.
Something like that, would that follow me?
Yes.
Is that, remember when I had the little girl around me? Is it, was she that?
No, she was a spirit. She was a human spirit.
Is she around? I kind of sensed her spirit around. I got to tell you, I haven't sensed anything dark. Or it's almost like more of an annoying kind of a thing and not a scary thing, if that makes sense. It's kind of like it wants my attention, but not trying to freak me out. I mean, the water thing, the skeptic would say, okay, that's you have old pipes, which I mean, I got some old ass pipes in here. I really do. But for the sink to turn on, for me to hear water coming out of the faucet, me getting up, and by the time I get up, the water
and
is
And you were
stopped.
Sleeping at the time it happened.
I was sleeping.
And it then was, the voice calling your name, you were sleeping at the time, correct?
Yes.
And at
now with the voices, there are times where it absolutely is not when I'm sleeping. I will because okay. I cleaned out.
But the one when you said you saw the face in the comforter that
yes,
you were sleeping.
Yes, that was. But so I, because the voices were so much going on over the Christmas and holiday break. If you look in my closet right now, it is completely empty. I emptied out everything in that closet just to see if that did anything with any of the voices and any of that kind of stuff.
Okay. And again, all of those things, they make you question your sanity. They wake you up out of your sleep so that you, the goal again is to be sleep deprived, regardless of what you want to call whatever this is. They want you to be sleep deprived. They want you to be under their influence. They want to be able to weaken you to the point where they can make you do things. That's the ultimate goal, is you to be the puppet and do what they want to do.
Damn.
You're your toughest bitch.
there's no way we didn't blow out a speaker. There's no way we did not blow out a speaker on that one.
And one of the reasons we haven't done anything is because, you know, the holidays, we took the holidays off. I was sick in December. And, you know,
the people just want it, Vicky. They need it. The one thing we talked about last week was going to the
out of body.
The view.
Mm-hmm. Remote viewing.
Remote viewing. Sorry, I couldn't think of it. The remote viewing. I do want to do a little vlog of us. You just kind of right. doing the 1-2-3s of if you want to try remote viewing or any kind of psychic 101 kind of stuff, because we do have a lot of people that want to try to see what their abilities are. Hmm. And I think you share my opinion on this, that we all have some kind of an ability. Yes. Just a lot of us don't tap into it.
Right. And sometimes some people are like super, super obvious. I was doing a reading party last week and, you know, everybody else, it was like typical. And I was doing my beginning spiel when I tell them, oh, what I might be able to get. And right in the middle of it, I just look at this lady. I'm like, you do know that you're off the charts psychic medium, right? Because it was so obvious with her. And, but everybody has it. Some people it's a little bit harder to figure out what it is, but some people it's like a big giant advertisement.
As the skeptic, I have a mission to make that I think may help other skeptics that listen to the show. And that is that we are only a product of our experiences. So if you haven't had an experience, you're always going to be usually, I think, more of a skeptic. So maybe because I've become more aware of it, being friends with you guys, doing the podcast and all that, but I've had certain things that happened in my house, what I probably would have always brushed them off as coincidence. Mm-hmm. But now that I'm more experienced with talking about it and dealing with it and all those things, like I had a light literally turn on in my bathroom from totally dark to on. Yeah. And then my brain, my left brain rationalized it. Oh, because it's one of those rocker switches. Like, oh, I must not have pushed it all the way. Mm-hmm. So it was right there and it rocked. And then I had a door that totally, like, I was closed, totally open. And I heard it when I was sitting at the couch. And I was like, my AC must have kicked on and the pressure must have, like, pushed it and the latched it or whatever.
Beckett's got ghosts.
I know I we're going to do the next investigation.
But the point of that is that you become a lot more aware and you have mm-hmm. share different experiences. You have to have a more open mind and you're like, whoa.
Aware or paranoid, depending
yeah,
on
Yeah, true.
Which.
It could go either way, 100%.
But that's the way it is. I mean, most people, most of the things that happen, we try to find a logical. Sometimes mm-hmm. I've told people who are, like, super, super sensitive to if they have a spirit and we haven't been able to move it on, and they're like, you know, the activity is going on all the time. I advise them to get a pet because then they can blame all the unknown noises on cats or dogs.
Well, sometimes ignorance is bliss. I mean, right. I'm not gonna lie. If I don't know about a shitty situation and I just kind of go through life and life goes on, I'm pretty happy about mm-hmm. that. Yeah. If you're gonna lie to me, make it good, Beckett. Here's another email to your weird whatever. I was wondering if you guys have actually ever heard an actual Bigfoot sound. I have, and it's horrifying. I grew up in North Carolina, and we'd always hear this species out there. If you guys haven't heard, check out the show Finding Bigfoot. They go over what an actual Bigfoot sounds like. Now, we did find the clip from Finding Bigfoot. This is the cast of their show. They're letting you know what it sounds like, but they are all doing the Bigfoot cry. But just so you guys know, the assignment after this is we're all going to do our best Bigfoot cry, like, because they're doing the mating call.
Okay.
So hear how they do it, and I want to hear how you guys do it.
Okay.
One of the more common vocalizations is often described as a high-pitched scream, like a woman being murdered in the woods.
Oh my God.
Sometimes they're long and drawn out. Sometimes they're short, like this. Other times you hear the long, sort of mournful howls, often described as the Ohio howl, because Matt recorded that for the first time back in Ohio in 1995.
I like that. Like a siren-y kind of sound. But then I've also had squatches come to me, like when I've been like, you know, making a bunch of noise and this and that, come to me and do like the like that kind of grunt, growly kind of thing, like a
like,
they sound better than that. The squatches do.
I don't know about that.
These guys are just having fun.
I mean, I have seen the show Finding Bigfoot because everyone always asks me naturally, "Do you love that show?"
Sounds like a porno.
I don't love that show because every time I think we found a squatch and they never find a squatch,
right.
And it's basically them just kind of like, you know, what we're doing, just hanging out with each other.
Yeah.
All right, Beckett, let's hear your. You're out in the woods. We have to try to attract a Bigfoot without blowing out our speaker. Back up a little bit. Your best Bigfoot mating call. It's not bad.
I was trying to channel the guy from Star Wars.
Chewbacca.
Yeah.
The guy from Star Wars.
Hey, Becky, do me a favor. Get out of my house.
It was on the tip of my tongue.
All right, Vicky, I know you're not into my tomfoolery. Oh, come on. Give us your best. The fans love it when you get involved.
I can't now.
I don't hate it.
It's not bad.
Chat room, let us know who does the best, who does the worst. All right, Denny's, your turn. Now we know what Denny sounds like when he's making love.
That's my Bigfoot mating call.
All right, my turn.
He's just showing off.
Yeah, the end was good.
Yeah. Who did the best? Who did the worst? Let us know in the chat room. That's just good, clean fun right
there,
good. Kids.
Oh, yeah.
I think with all that said, it might be time for a little
Denny's Random Facts.
Well, so I got an audio clip for you guys. In fact, actually, I'll let the audio clip start this one off. I just want to see what your guys' thoughts are on this 3-year-old girl genius. Some people are just born lucky.
In Arizona, that's the international club that only has one benchmark, an IQ in the highest 2% of the world.
Only on ABC 15, meet one of the smartest people around, and she's only been around for 3 years.
One Valley family's little girl is the youngest person to be in Mensa in Arizona. That's the international club that only has one benchmark, an IQ in the highest 2% of the world.
Check it out. A 3-year-old girl genius was already accepted into a college to study, which only accepts people if their IQ is in the top 2% of the entire world.
I mean, that's a savant, right?
I mean, she. It's funny because in the clip they talk about how the parents say she's already correcting their grammar. She can't speak, but she can point to words and correct them.
So, okay, first, let everybody know playing at home that Vicky's our educator. She gives a grade for each one of Denny's factoids. I am extraordinarily impressed with that one. Vicky, I can't tell what kind of face you're making.
Well, I have a bunch of questions because being an educator, I know that they use different IQ tests depending on the age of the child. So I'd be curious as to what tests they actually gave her.
Absolutely. But she's already able to read and interpret Spanish and English.
The kid's at a different level, Vicky.
Yeah, I mean, you still have kids that there's rote learning, so.
This school intentionally takes only people that have this style of intellect, I guess you could say.
Damn, Vicky's not impressed. I am super impressed. 3-year-old, you see these, 3-year-old, I could barely wipe my ass at 3 years old.
Yeah, but it depends on what the parents have done because 3-year-olds are sponges. So depending on how much information that she has been exposed to, it could all just be memorizing at this point.
But that's at a Rain Man level of memorizing.
I'm not saying she doesn't have a high IQ. I'm not saying that. I'm saying I need to know more of the details on what Tess was given, what her routine is at home, how much the parents have, you know, put into that sponge themselves.
What's your grade?
Well, I'm going to take my feelings out of it, so I will give it a B+.
Damn, I give it an A+ on that, Jenny.
Only
because I seen this special, we've talked about it, on Savants and people who do remarkable things, and there's no explanation for it. These are people who are they look at a piano and all of a sudden they can play Beethoven without a lesson of piano. To me, that shows that we have not utilized our brain. We don't understand everything that's in our brain, and something's happened in their brain where they are just able to look at it like a puzzle and figure it out like that.
It's memorization, like point. Yeah, they just have an incredible ability to memorize everything they either see or read.
But that's
or
impressive.
Hear.
That's
incredibly.
That's like
impressive.
A superhero.
Well, you
kind
get
of
that going. Dice roll when you're born.
Gosh.
Well, we've talked about that with a lot of kids and people with autism. They have like superpowers. Some of them, whether it's playing Mozart just by ear.
Absolutely.
You know, or I saw this one guy, they flew him in a helicopter and around New York City, and he came back and to the exact detail did the whole New York City skyline.
It's insane. Drip. Oh, that one guy, he never knew how to sculpt. They had a brain injury, a head injury, and now he's able to look at an animal for a second. He could look at a horse. I know horse is kind of a tough subject to talk about.
You can really look at that horse.
you can look at that horse for... But he can look at an animal, and within 20 minutes, he could sculpt to the detail of the down to the tail just by looking at it one time. How does that happen? Something got jarred loose in his brain, and now he's
got incredible
superhero.
Memorization.
That's insane to me.
Yeah,
that's
wild.
That's crazy.
Yep.
So what do you guys think about this? Trends, what was old is now new. Do you think this trend will ever come back? Ohigiro is the process of dyeing your teeth black in Japan. Black dyed teeth were a symbol of status and thought to complement the white painted faces of the women. The dyeing was also done to mask yellow teeth, but it actually made the teeth stronger by preventing the growth of cavities. Later, it was outlawed in 1870. But then they brought it back, and it faded out of popularity.
Interesting for that factor in A, and gosh, I hope it doesn't come back.
It might, though. Well, what's old is new. The process is actually made, this is probably why it wasn't, it was crushed up iron, vinegar, tea, and rice wine, and you would have to apply it 3 times a day. So it was only for the wealthy who could actually afford to do this.
Oh, wow. That's
not to interrupt your facts, I love it. I just like Dina Kay's comment in the chat room. She said some people believe, we're talking about people that can play the piano to go back to the whole reincarnation kind of a thing.
Ah.
Some people believe it's knowledge from past lives.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
That's interesting.
All of a sudden, you know, you played piano back in the 1920s, Beckett. Mm-hmm. You come back now, you know, ragtime.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. I've heard that kind of theory, though, of reincarnation. Like, you may not have memory with the KVJ show or doing the podcast with us, but all of a sudden, like, you know.
Oh, he'll never forget.
You Yeah, exactly. You hop on a mic in the 30s, and you're like... really good banter, and you're like, man, this kind of feels right. You know what I mean? Like, you'll have like a loosely rooted or anchored memory of.
But I talk like this. This is the weird one I'm on.
Yeah,
that is random facts.
What do you guys think about this? Super duper random. The average human body temperature has been dropping by 1/20th of a degree Fahrenheit per decade since it was established as 98.6 in 1851. It actually currently sits at 97.9, oddly. Our radio station. The reason is because of improved health and reduced in levels of inflammation. Heat is a symptom of inflammation.
Mm. Wow, our bodies get global warming?
That's interesting. Reverse global warming.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Super random, right?
That's one of those factoids you hear and you go, huh,
yeah.
Vicky?
I like it because I liked he was able to get 97.9 in there. So
yeah,
that was good.
Coincidentally.
I've never run 98.6. I've always been under 98.6. Now it makes sense. So I got to give him an A on that because I made a personal connection.
What's the highest fever you've ever had?
Ooh, I hit 100 like, and two ones.
I don't think I've ever reached 102.
Wow.
I had scarlet fever, not to brag.
Oh, really? So you
It's what happens when you neglect, strep throat.
So your highest was 102, you said?
What was yours, Barry?
Oh, that's funny because mine was 103.
I think I was 103.8. I had seizures.
Damn. Stop it, Beckett. Oh, that's right.
Burns bitch ass temperature.
No,
I was so dramatic as a kid.
I could not. No, I had a fever, I'd say, what, about 5 years ago when we first moved back from Miami. We just got into a new place, and I was, it was one of those like deathly ill, sick. I could not get out of, off the floor. And I had the feeling of I could give a shit if my bosses called me and like fired me. It was that kind of sickness. And I remember my temperature was 103 and I was debating on going to the hospital because it just, my head was heated up. And then I took 2 aspirin and I'd never taken aspirin in my life. I could not believe how quickly it reduced my fever.
Right.
Holy miracle. Right. Oh my God. What is an aspirin?
It's a fever reducer.
Oh my God. I mean, I was blown away. Vicky, the things I learned.
That's amazing.
As you were, Denny's.
Yeah. Let's see here. Let's see if you guys agree with this. So this is I guess it's called a theory. And I'll give you the actual one afterwards. But it's called the 1% rule that states only 1% of the internet actually creates new content. And the rest is divided up by a community of content editors, which makes up 9%. And then content viewers, which makes up 90%.
Question, with the content editor, do they take a story?
That means they took a story.
They make it their own?
Modify it.
They do not at all put an editorial spin to it. They just edit it down.
Edit it down or put an editorial spin to it.
Got ya. Okay, that does make sense to me. Because I feel like when it comes to news these days, there's a lot of editorial and not actual news.
Well, you'll find one source or two sources and then 900 stories about it.
And I am totally fine with editorial news if that's what you call it.
I 100%
agree. You just have to acknowledge that it's editorial.
Well, just say I'm on a forum and I'm speaking my opinion and pushing my agenda. And then I would have...
Well, then you want to tune in because you know what...
Well, it's transparency. And I think... Well,
it should be required by law.
It's just getting tough.
If we're talking about putting GMOs on labels on food, then we need all of the current events and news that we consume that helps us make decisions on what we're going to vote for. I can't think of anything more important in terms of exactly what you're saying.
And again, I don't care your platform or your opinion. Just tell me this is my opinion.
Right.
100%. So they found out that the actual ratio is a little skewed. It's a little more in the favor of there's about 6% creators instead of 1%, that the 9% is actually 26%, and then the remainder is people that absorb content. But what they found out was that it's always small, medium, and gigantic when you do a ratio of who creates content and how it's shared on the internet, no matter what it is applied to. It's always that ratio.
So when you say that there's only the smallest percent, you said creates the content. Give me some examples of what that would be. Is that, do you mean like a BuzzFeed? They create content?
Whoever created the initial content. So in that context, BuzzFeed created the content. Then 26% of people are going to share that content or make some sort of modification while sharing it, as if, you know, putting it on their page. And then everyone else just looks at it and does nothing else with it. So reads it and moves on.
Okay, that makes sense too. So, but you're telling me BuzzFeed would be the content.
Well, think about it like this: how many times on the internet you see the cruise ship that the captain came in too hot crash into the dock? It wasn't people with their 4K cameras getting it. They pulled it from someone's cell phone that went on the news, and then a bunch of people made memes out of it and reposted on Facebook and Instagram, and that's what becomes digested. It was that one guy in Greece that actually made the content. The news,
and you see the same meme shared millions of times.
100%.
I see it 50 times a day.
Not many people are you guys like creating like actual like original content where Denny's filming it, you're doing a music video and putting it out there. Like most people aren't doing that.
Yeah, they found that in this day and age, the study I think was 2018, but they said that barely anyone's creating.
That's crazy.
It's all repurposing things that have been created.
So we're in the world of constantly creating. So I think a lot of times you're blinded by your own world.
Right.
I think if you are just kind of have tunnel vision, you think that's how the whole world is sometimes.
Totally.
So that's a shockingly low number, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's a real small number.
That's crazy.
Think about
it.
You and Denny are 1%ers.
That's what's crazy to me.
Like 6%ers.
Yeah, 6%ers. Keep going, baby. You're on a roll tonight.
We've talked about feral children before. Well, so this guy.
Okay, just let people know
what
that is.
So feral children are children who are raised outside of civilization, they're raised either with animals or in the outside of civilization, the outskirts. So Marcus Rodriguez Pantoja, he was born in Añora, Spain, and he is a noted and famous feral child. Well, so recently they interviewed him when he turned 70, who he was once a feral child that lived alone with wolves in the mountains between the ages of 7 and 19 and then returned to civilization. When he got back to civilization as a 70-year-old man recollecting his memories, he was disappointed in how human nature was and often thought about going back outside of society. Crazy, right? They made a movie about it called Among Wolves, if you want to check it out.
Vicky?
I could totally relate. Grade? B.
Could you ever see yourself just losing it, losing your mind, and saying, screw this shit, I'm going out to live in the woods?
Daily.
I think that's a healthy thought for a lot of people. Yeah. Anytime I get really, really mad about something, screw it, I'm going to live in the fucking woods. I don't give a shit. I hear that one from people a lot, or when people get really emotionally just kind of distraught. You know, I'm driving north. People just want to get in their car and drive north. It's never south.
Unless you're retiring.
Yeah, it's good, Becky.
What do you guys think of this one? Fair or foul? We were talking about Buddhists earlier. Two Buddhists bought 500 pounds, British money, 500 pounds worth of live crustaceans and released them into the sea to get good karma. Unfortunately, they were fined 15,000 British pounds for untold damages and damaging the environment and introducing a non-native species.
Jeez.
Trying to do a good job. Getting punished karma-wise. Does that make you question karma?
Yeah, they believe in karma.
Karma's an interesting thing. I know everybody wants karma to be real. That son of a bitch did me wrong, so eventually they're going to get theirs. I don't know if we always get karma on this plane in this lifetime. I think, unfortunately, and it sucks, and I don't know the answer, but sometimes I don't know if karma works out for everybody in the end. And you might argue or say, well, maybe they get their karma when they are dead, and that's when they finally get their bullshit.
Or in a future life.
Oh, bringing it back to the...
Well, I would say if you were to subscribe to that, you'd think maybe they get punished down the road. Maybe it doesn't have to be this immediate. We can only conceptualize immediacy because our lifespan.
What would you say, Vicky, to somebody who is really distraught on the fact that they feel like somebody died, got away, let's say even murder, worst case scenario, this person did unspeakable things and they got to die in their late 90s and they lived like a fat cat and they never felt the heat. What would you say to that person? Say that son of a bitch never had karma.
I have been shown that you will pay for whatever you've done and whatever lessons you should have learned here. You have to learn them on the other side. I'm not Catholic. I wasn't raised Catholic. I'm Baptist. But the concept of purgatory has basically been shown to me. In fact, I had a reading a couple weeks ago, and it was this person's father, and he was still in stage one on the other side because he did not learn what he was supposed to when he was here. And on the other side, he's still stubborn and still hasn't learned. He's not going to be allowed his free will until he goes through the stages he has to go through to learn what he should have.
Question. Can one enjoy and have fun in purgatory? Is that something where... You're like, hey, you know what? I kind of like this.
The way it's been shown to me, and again, I'm just saying me, it's kind of like a classroom. And it's a classroom where in some cases, like years ago, I saw someone who had been a child molester. And I guess I would imagine that his father knew about it but did nothing about it, because when I saw them on the other side, he was still in his classroom, but his father was the one who had to babysit him. And he was still stuck with him, helping him learn what he should have.
Question. Is there lunch breaks in purgatory?
I have not seen a lunch break.
Okay.
You won't get pizza delivered there, so don't even think about it.
I'm just saying there's a classroom. Clearly they got to eat, right?
No, I mean, it's literally shown to me like you're like in a box.
You think about it as like heaven's waiting room. You got Family Feud playing in the corner. There's nothing to do except two-year-old magazines.
Okay.
And it sounds good at first, but you probably get crazy after a while.
It's okay. So basically purgatory, it's all about learning. There's no enjoyment. In your experience, purgatory, there's not going to be an ounce of enjoyment. limit. If you got a foot massage in purgatory, could you enjoy that? And I'm being serious when I answer
that. I'm not specifically. I'm saying I can understand where the concept of purgatory comes from based on what I've been shown. I'm not purposely calling it purgatory. Well, I can relate it to the concept of purgatory.
What would be your definition of purgatory? Vicky's definition.
Basically, this is kind of the same thing I've been shown. You're stuck until you do what you need to do in order to go. You're either going to go to a different level up here, or you're going to get the freedom to come back here in visitation.
Have you seen hell?
No, I have not been shown hell.
Have you been to New Jersey?
I've been on their turnpike and paid a lot of money to do it.
Just kidding, New Jerseyans. I love you. The Garden State.
Yeah. You didn't have a good slice of pizza flagged that mitigated your anger at all?
I actually did have some good pizza in New Jersey. Okay. I think in my Star Wars dorks will get this reference. Sometimes you bring in your own baggage into the cave. Does that make sense to you, Denny's?
Yeah.
It's an Empire Strikes Back reference. I'm not going to even explain it, but you bring in your own baggage into the cave sometimes. I think I might have brought my own baggage into New Jersey.
Yeah.
I wasn't in a good place.
Oh, and before I get hate mail, I'm not saying that hell doesn't exist. I'm saying I've never been shown hell.
You know, in my experience, Vicky, a little hate mail is kind of awesome. You need a little
but I just
bit
want to clarify, I'm not saying it doesn't exist. I'm saying I've never been shown it.
Yeah, no, I mean, we get people who are very religious. It's weird. It's so fascinating. Well, religion. You talk about you are Baptist, you said?
Yes.
Yeah, I get a lot of Baptist emails, and it's so funny that it's the same religion, but everyone's got slightly a different take on it. There's even different rules within the same religion people follow.
Right. Well, yeah.
It's fascinating to me.
Well, different degrees of devotion, too, and different degrees of how they interpret things within the same guise. I mean, now I would say I wouldn't classify myself now as Baptist because I see things differently than I did growing up. So I probably wouldn't put any denomination on myself now.
The whole idea of just the afterlife, heaven, purgatory you're talking about, even hell, because we do get a lot of people who do believe in hell. Now, and I know no one knows the answer to this, but maybe just in, you know, with your psychic community, have you ever heard, and even in y'all's religious, I know Jen, Brittany, and Beckett, you guys come from somewhat of a religious background in your past. Me and Denny's, you know, we're free thinkers on a different level. No, I am very fascinated about learning about religion. Have you ever heard of something where someone goes to hell, but they, on good behavior, they finally get out? Can you ever reverse your sentence to hell?
See, some people might think that this classroom that I see is hell, and it's just not the fire and brimstone and, you know, the devil with the tail and the horns.
Can be interpreted differently.
That could be hell that I'm seeing, but you're not stuck there because the people have the opportunity to learn what they should and go on to the next level. So for all I know, that is hell that I'm seeing. It's just not hell that I've been taught what it should have looked like.
You have someone like Ted Bundy down in hell, but he is just the model citizen down there. Does he get a reprieve? You see what I'm saying? Does that happen? Have you ever heard of that in any kind of religious text?
I haven't. The only thing that the Christianity, you know, being going to Catholic school and raised Episcopalian, they really drill you on that if you ask for forgiveness. Like, that's like the main thing before
but
you pass.
My whole thing on that was, what if you have someone real clever that's killed their entire, they've done terrible things, and right the last second, they truly mean it. They've got 10 seconds on the clock, but for those 10 seconds, in their heart of hearts, God, I am so sorry, please forgive me. Like, they do the whole thing, and they just get that buzzer beater of forgiveness. Are they off the hook? I mean, we're talking about time period. Is it 2 days? Is it 2 minutes before you die?
So, you know, as snotty kids in high school, those are all the questions we asked in religion.
Those are good
questions.
They're
great questions. I totally agree. Those are all the kind of questions that we always would give our Pope John Paul was run by the Carmelite Saints. And we would ask those questions all the time. And basically the answer from what I remember in class, they're like, yeah, if someone actually genuinely asked for forgiveness for your sins,
I mean,
buzzer beater.
10
not,
seconds on. Yeah. I mean, holy shit.
Yeah. Yeah. You have a tough time grappling with that a little bit as a kid. You're like, man, I live as like a model citizen my whole life. And then Jeff.
How do I time this whole thing out?
Right. Exactly.
I still say that. Yeah. That gives them the first step in their little classroom, what they have to do. But the way I think about it from a religious standpoint, God made all of us. So we are his children. So wouldn't you, if you were God, wouldn't you want your children to ultimately be with you. Mm-hmm. So you would want to give them the opportunities to repent and learn and be able to be with the Father. That's the way I look at it. So yeah. I think that we are given opportunities to really change and to learn from what we did.
Dennis, you're awfully quiet. What are you, Googling devil shit?
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. Nailed it.
How'd you know?
Yeah, no, I'm kind of absorbing all the theories. Kind of like you guys. There's so many different variations and offshoots of the same. I mean, more or less, a lot of them share a lot of the same principles.
Yeah.
So, I mean there is a lot of, you're right, there's a lot of core fundamental things that are the same. There's some different, now there are definitely some avenues of difference.
Well, yeah, So say you got 3 starter packs and then everybody used those and they all branched off into different ones. So there are different, and same with interpretation. Think about things you interpret daily that somebody next to you could probably interpret differently.
Totally.
It is weird. Have you ever been in a situation where you've seen this whole thing go down and then you hear 2 people who are involved with it tell completely different stories, and now you're pretty much the bystander watching it all, but the facts don't line up, and you know, being involved, which one's more accurate than the other one. That's a scary thing when it comes to jury and witnesses and all that stuff. A lot of times people get it wrong.
Yeah. Well,
a lot of times they get it right, but that chance,
their perspective,
for sure.
I've had that experience where I was actually part of the story, and we're back, and a good friend is retelling the story to someone else, and I don't think there's any malicious intent whatever.
I agree.
And it gets the fish story, and I look at my buddy, I'm like, I don't remember really it happening that's crazy.
And you know that they're wrong because you were there and you heard it. It's not like you're distorting reality or the truth because someone will say, no, well, maybe they saw it. No, there are times where there are facts and they're not, you can't dispute certain things.
Totally.
They're just, when you start saying you can dispute a fact when it's a cold heart fact, I have a tough time. It's like, how are you ever going to really live in reality if you can't deal with basic facts? Now, I think there's, you know, blurred lines in certain situations, but when something's so ABC, and then someone's like, well, are you sure it was ABC? Well, yeah, definitely.
It was Monday or it was Friday. It was snowing or it wasn't snowing.
Exactly. You know, like, exactly. There's no how you feel about what day it happened on.
Right.
If it felt like Wednesday and it happened on Friday, it doesn't matter what you felt like.
Right, exactly.
And sometimes I think that happens.
100% does, yeah.
Brittany, how long have we been going on time?
For 52.
Let's get Brittany on the hot seat. Do we all have our question? Now, we introduced our new producer, Brittany. Her nickname's Brittany.
Are you guys related?
No, she's my friend, and anytime we have game night, me and her join teams and destroy Denny's and his wife, like, every time. It's not even funny. So our team's named Brittany. Brittany, how have you liked being the producer for a week?
Loving it.
Great job on the social media. We've got clips, y'all. They're up. It's amazing. She's reaching out to me. Do you want me to put up another clip? I'm like, shit, yeah.
That's awesome.
Mr. Beckett, do you have
first one?
Yeah. We're going to put Brittany on the hot seat, see what you're about. Let's go ahead and just get the basics out, Brittany.
Okay.
If you don't mind, how old are you?
29, almost 30.
29, almost 30. Where were you born at?
Fall River, Massachusetts.
Any religious preference? What are your views on that?
I grew up Christian. But I'm kind of the belief that they're all kind of intertwined, the religions. They all kind of have the same message, and I'm not closed off to any, like, spirituality or anything like that.
Open-minded. We like that here at the Weird Whatever podcast. Dating life, romance, people are going to want to know.
I am in a relationship with myself.
Ow!
Oh.
Ow! Okay. All right, those are the basics. So now you kind of get...
That was going to be one of my questions.
No, we want to go a little bit deeper. Let's get to know Brittany a little bit here. Vicky, do you have a question?
I got a good one.
All right, go ahead.
I had a backup. So have you had any paranormal experiences? And if so, what was it?
Good question. I think... like what I've told Vicky before is I'm very sensitive to people's emotions, and I've gotten a good sense of this person's not good and I need to leave now, and things have happened. Or like when I met Jen, for example, I knew right away that she was like my best friend probably from past lives.
So you've had like premonitions and stuff about things.
Yeah.
Okay. That's interesting.
Awesome.
Vicky?
Do you think, because you're an educator as well, do you think there's ever a possible conflict of interest to be able to be in the spotlight like, you know, we are, like with the show, and your job as an educator?
I think, you know, as long as I don't swear a lot and...
Leave that up to me. It's my own living room. I can swear. I haven't swore that much tonight. I've curtailed it slightly.
You know, it's interesting because I think there's a lot of professions where teachers are kind of put on a pedestal and it's unfair because you wouldn't second guess if someone else was, you know, at a bar or anything like that. But then if a teacher's at the bar or if a teacher swears or anything like that, we could lose our jobs. And it's like, what other profession really... has that. I don't think it's very fair and it's unrealistic. And as
it's bullshit. In fact, in my experience, teachers swear and drink the most out of anybody I know, and I'm not even kidding you.
What are you saying, Jason?
No, I mean, I know a lot of teachers, and y'all like to drink. good question. Denny's, anything for Birdney?
What's your most awkward date?
And by the way, I apologize for Chewy's gas.
Oh, I smell it.
I mean, he only farts during this podcast. I swear to you, the last time he farted was the last podcast. He must be nervous. You must give Chewy the vapors.
I think it's the
Beckett.
I think it's the Chewy cam.
He's nervous.
He's a little stage fright.
He's a little stage fright. His bowels get to him. Poor little doggy. All right.
The most awkward date I've ever been on.
Yes.
Oh. I don't know. I have to look at Jen and see if she.
You don't have to answer that question.
The spinal guy that he told me that he had never slept with anyone before until he was older, like in his 30s, because he had a spinal injury and I wasn't sure if he was just trying to get in my pants or if...
Oh, he was doing the old spinal bit. Oh, that old trick. Oh, I've never had sex, my spine. We all know that old gag.
I know, all the time.
Well, Birdney, we're very happy to have you on the podcast. Within 1 week, you've done awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you for opening up. Yeah. Give it up for Birdney. How much time we got? I want to go an hour tonight. We're about there. We got 3 minutes left. Does anybody have anything to plug?
I'm going to plug next Thursday night at the former Improv Theater in Boca. It's right there at Glades and Turnpike. It's called the Black Box Theater now. We're selling tickets. I guess it's something that's been on Bravo. It's called the Great Love Debate. So they have me and other local people that I guess are somehow qualified to be on the stage. And we drink and we discuss and debate love, relationship, sex, things like that. I'm going to be on the panel, and we'll be drinking at the bar afterwards, having a good time. You guys can have a laugh at my expense. I'm sure it'll be really funny from what I understand. And so come out. That'd be awesome.
What are you, single these days? What's your, because I'm always getting, people always drop it into my DMs about you. I'm like, DM Becky.
I have to stay mysterious about that kind of stuff.
Being so coy.
You know it's complicated.
It's so complicated.
Does Kevin ever do that to you on the air?
What? Ask me about my love life? Virginia does. So I have to do it to you.
And what do you say?
Oh, man. Me and Virginia have gotten into so many fights about that shit. I do want to play one more clip. I want to end on something weird here. We played it on the KVJ show. There's a 17-year-old girl in England with a rare disorder that renders her totally paralyzed every time she laughs too hard. She has to avoid anything that she might find funny. Here's a clip of her explaining this condition. Denny's,
Is it playing?
No, I can't hear. Can you guys hear that?
Mm-hmm.
So you guys want to end on a low note?
Yeah, we can talk about my relationship status if you want. There may or may not be a special girl in Beckett's life.
Becky, we know you're not going to bed alone. We know that. Beckett's like Jerry Maguire. He can't be alone.
Yeah, I got it for you.
Here we go.
I have a condition called cataplexy, which means that I lose muscle tone in any sort of emotion, like laughter, crying kind of thing, which can lead to full collapse. And it's really frustrating because you can't respond, you can't speak when people are asking you, are you all right, if you've fully collapsed. You're fully conscious, so it's really frustrating. Long-term prognosis is medication. At the minute, there's no cure. In the future, hopefully there will be a cure, although I don't feel there's quite enough research going on for that to happen, but hopefully it will get better, not worse.
So when she laughs, she gets paralyzed?
Yes. Can you? I mean, there are so many conditions out there that we never even hear about, that people, like rare conditions. There was that one condition where every time someone's awake, they feel like nothing's real. It's just this state of not being able to you're constantly in a state of what the shit is going on kind of a thing. You're not able to, and I don't know if I'm even explaining it the right way, but it's almost kind of like what you feel when you have a really bad panic attack. You feel detached from your body. You feel numb. You feel like nothing's real in the world. And that's having that 24 hours a day or anytime you're awake. But there's so many kind of conditions like that that we never even
so
hear
is
about.
That like the gland that produces the panic that you feel, whatever that secretes? That's, is that like an over...
That's a great question.
Like over making it?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we're all like a, you know, like a pizza, and we all are made slightly different. Some of us have a little bit more sauce.
Yeah.
Some of us have more pepperoni. Mm. And if you have a different balance of a pizza, you're gonna have a slightly different pizza.
Yeah, that's crazy. Well, there's that breed of goats. When they get scared, they just faint. It's like in their genetic thing, they just pass out. It's crazy.
Kevin turned out an idea that I really wanted to do in the KVJ show. Me, Denny's, and his wife Jen. We're just listening to goat clips of goats. Yeah, it sounds like people yelling, and we could not stop laughing. And I wanted all of us to, maybe we could do it here on the Weird Whatever, but you play either a goat screaming or a KVJ member. Can you tell the difference between a goat screaming and a show member? I don't know if people could.
Yeah.
Because it legit sounds like a human screaming. Goats screaming are horrifying.
Yeah.
Horrifying.
I will say, you guys, you've mentioned some panic. I've had some panic attacks recently and never had them before.
Did we introduce them to you?
I don't know.
Explain what they were.
It's scary. I've been accused of sometimes being too stoic. And I'm a pretty even-keeled guy. I usually don't get too excited, too down. I'm trying to stay down the middle in my lane. And yeah, as you get older, certain things happen, more stressful events. And I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning a couple of weeks ago and just like panic attack. It's scary.
Let me give you some advice, because it's new and it's just now creeping up on you. Attack this thing now. Mm-hmm. Seriously, attack it now. You're not confronting something is on your back.
Yeah.
And you're having a tough time confronting it. And you even might know what it is.
Yeah.
You're at an age to be panicked.
Right.
Mid-30s, right, guys? It's mid-30s.
Mid-30s.
No, but I honestly feel like when people get into their mid-30s, into their 40s, and into their 50s, you start thinking about life on a different level, on really? A deeper level. I just think that's part of the human condition. Now, I don't think everybody goes through that, but I think it's something that, like when we get to a certain age, you start sprouting hair on your face mm-hmm. or on your body. When you get to a certain age, you start to think slightly differently, and I can relate to what you're talking about. Yeah. I understand what you mean by that.
Yeah.
Vicky, do you know what I'm talking about? Could you say that you've seen a difference in your thinking with each decade that you've gone, and it's almost to the point where you've seen an evolution, so to speak?
Oh yeah, I'm old. I don't care what you think of me stage now. So my thinking is I'm not so paranoid about what people think, and that has totally kind of really shaped my personality now.
It's a freeing feeling.
Yeah.
We've talked about that before.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When you just don't give a F, it's hard to rattle that.
Well, that's why they teach you not to. Yeah. They teach you to give an
F. I've been good about that. So the source of panic is never external. It's usually internal. And it's internal. And I think I agree with you. You hit your 20s, you know, you're still young, mm-hmm. like, you know, whatever. Then you hit your 30s and you're like, oh man, this is real. You know what
now,
I mean?
Oh, yeah. If that keeps happening, you know, your house could be haunted and your empathic ability is just coming through. Uh-huh. So it could be a 3 a.m. panic attack from the spirit that's in your home.
Maybe.
So let me know if it continues.
Or it could be a midlife crisis. It's one of the two.
What's something?
It's all happening at the same time.
No, and honestly, man, I think people could have a midlife crisis at the age of 18.
Totally. Yeah, whenever.
I mean, it's just when you are having a tough time making sense of what's going on around
you. And you feel like you're at a proverbial fork in the road in certain things.
You might even question yourself, doubt. There might be some self-doubt in there. Mm-hmm. There's a great, that's what I wanted to promote. There's a great channel on YouTube. This is free content for y'all. If you're into the psychology and why humans act certain ways, and it's kind of like, It's not exactly like a TED Talk thing, but it's content in about 5 to 7 minute bite-sized forms. And for example, one of the ones is how to get out of a toxic relationship, or how to be more affectionate with somebody who doesn't want to be. It's like those little kind of life hacks. It's called School of Life on YouTube. Highly recommend it for people. I watched it all during the break, and it was kind of like a self-therapy. Really made me feel at ease and at peace, and I would listen to it at nighttime. I will say, if you do put it on at nighttime, it does get the motors thinking a little bit. Okay. It makes you think, but that's a good thing sometimes.
Yeah, that's a good thing, for sure.
Let's go ahead and end this, biatch. Thank you guys for listening to the Weird Whatever podcast. If you could, don't forget the question of the day when this video is up. Or even if you're just listening just on audio form, email us. Let us know. What do you guys think when animals die? Do you think nothing happens? If you're an atheist, you obviously think nothing happens. But if you're somebody, you know, for example, I want to get really specific with this question. Insects, worms, do they go to the next level? What's your opinion on that when the video is over and populates? Please put that in the comment section. We'd really appreciate it. Another email came in. How can I help the weird and whatever? If you guys see anything on our social media, please like, share. I mean, all of that helps us greatly. It really does. It helps our numbers. And unfortunately, it's a numbers game, Beckett. Always has been.
It always is.
Okay, guys, we love you all, and
Bigfoot is real.
Scared of aliens? Well, you should.